Adam Wolfberg had two young daughters when his wife Kelly went into labor with their third child. It was not a joyous occasion. The baby was 3 months early. After just 26 weeks in the womb, their baby daughter, Larissa, entered the world by emergency C-section and was whisked into the neonatal intensive care unit of a Boston hospital. It's the same hospital where Dr. Wolfberg was doing his medical residency in obstetrics and gynecology. His background was a mixed blessing.
Sometimes I think a little bit of knowledge is a scary thing because we knew enough to be terribly worried, but not really enough to understand the nuance of what was to come. And certainly our knowledge didn't give us any tools to do anything about it.
In his new book, Fragile Beginnings, Adam Wolfberg describes seeing his daughter, 1 pound, 15 ounces, a breathing tube down her throat.
Quickly, she was wrapped in stickers that were connected to monitors. Then she was wrapped in a very, very small little diaper and placed in this plexiglass box that would keep her warm. It was a quite striking arrival and a scary sight when I was able to visit with her a couple hours after she was born.
In his book, Fragile Beginnings, Wolfberg tells the story of babies like Larissa born too soon and how much has changed for these tiny patients over the last century.
Early on in the history of taking care of premature babies, there were these odd spectacles in amusement parks, including one in Coney Island, where doctors had fashioned primitive incubators to care for these small babies. And people who were coming to see shows and ride rides would also come and gaze through these windows at babies in incubators. And some of the admission fees paid to get into these amusement parks helped to support early medical efforts to save premature babies.
But decades more would go by before real progress was made. And it's interesting and also quite sad that there was one birth in particular that seems to have galvanized the field, and that was the birth of John F. and Jacqueline Kennedy's premature baby.
President Kennedy's baby, Patrick, was born prematurely with a problem breathing that today would be trivial. It would be cared for with the assistance of medicines and equipment that are routine in any hospital in the United States and in most hospitals around the world. But in this case, the knowledge and the technology didn't exist. And in spite of heroic efforts, this baby passed away after only a couple of days of life.
I know you say heroic, but as I read it, it seemed like there was really nothing much they could do for him.
The technology at their disposal was extremely limited, and I think that Patrick's birth and death galvanized the medical community in a way that no other premature baby had to that point to really tackle some of these problems and allow kids like Patrick to survive.
Now, this would have been in the early 1960s. Over the last 50 years, enormous progress has been made. Just pick one innovation that's happened in recent years and tell us how it came about and what a huge difference it made.
I think that the story of the development of surfactant is fascinating. This is a compound that allows the lungs, which would normally collapse, to remain open. And surfactant was the result of research done in the middle of the night by a young Harvard researcher named Mary Ellen Avery. She was studying lung disease and found this froth coming from the mouth and really from the lungs of adults with heart failure, and wondered whether that froth, which turned out to contain this critical compound surfactant, wasn't the piece that was missing from her premature newborn charges who were unable to breathe after they were born. And her research led to the creation of an artificial surfactant that, again, has been life-saving.
Well, your daughter Larissa did well the first day, but then she experienced a massive bleeding in the brain. It must be one of the most frightening things that can happen to a premature baby because it signals all kinds of potential problems ahead.
that in some ways was our greatest concern, because a significant bleed in the brain commonly leads to a walking or movement problem known as cerebral palsy and other long-term neurologic complications.
You write about the decisions that doctors and patients make about the treatment of an extremely preterm newborn and how it can have profound implications for the child's future. Is there a debate taking place about asking for everything to be done?
I think that some of these physicians have seen babies with profound injuries grow up to lead extremely impaired lives. And I think that physicians worry that by doing absolutely everything when the long-term outcome is so much a question mark, that maybe they aren't making the right decision, or maybe they aren't providing the right counsel to those parents all of the time.
Let's talk about your daughter, Larissa. How has she fared?
Larissa just turned 10, and she has done remarkably well, unexpectedly well. She has some minor impairment in her gait, and her right hand doesn't work as well as her left hand does. But she is a funny, joyful kid with absolutely no cognitive impairment whatsoever. Considering Larissa's injury at birth, we are absolutely the luckiest parents alive.
Dr. Wolfberg, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Renee.
Adam Wolfberg is the author of Fragile Beginnings, Discoveries and Triumphs in the Newborn ICU. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montagne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep.